You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
Hoodie weather has returned. Finally, hoodie weather has returned to the Triad. It's about a month behind. I think it was like 95 degrees outside the day before. But a little drastic change in the weather outside. Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson. I'm joined by Johnny O, John Oshevsky, Brandon Blakeney in the house.
You did?
Sawyer Dillon's my producer. Aaron Gabriel will be with us shortly. 336-777-1600 is the number to call to chime in on any of our topics for today. Let's go ahead and get started. You can also hit us on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad or at Sports Carolina 1. That's the number one, Sports Carolina 1. We're going to get into high school football here in a little bit. Just know that on Sports Hub Triad last night, we had probably one of the best games of the season, East Forsyth and Grimsley. If you missed it, we'll get you the recap of that. Me and Brandon were out at Jameson Stadium last night covering that game. And then we had Southwest Guilford taking on High Point Andrews on the other side.
That Guilford County team gave you guys a little scare last night.
Man, that Grimsley's for real. We're going to talk about Grimsley because Grimsley is legit. They are for real, for real. But that sets up an even bigger matchup this upcoming Friday on the Sports Hub, and we'll get into all that as well. But I wanted to go around the NFL to kick us off on this Saturday, this kind of, I guess, overcast Saturday.
It is
fall
wonderful.
Day. It's cool. Wonderful.
It's a little nippy out there.
We all came in wearing like long sleeve shirts and hoodies and things like that. And we were all wearing shorts and whatnot just really 24 hours ago. Yeah. But was poking around in the NFL. There's a lot of stuff going on this week. One of the biggest stories so far this week has been the dysfunction in Minnesota. Are the Vikings getting tired of Kirk Cousins? I keep hearing that it's a possibility they might just cut him when the season is over. But he was on a fully guaranteed deal. Like it was, what, 90 million, 88
yeah.
million,
yeah, something 88 like that? Million guaranteed.
So what's
for, what, 3 years or something?
I've never seen a situation where not one but two wide receivers basically throw their quarterback under the bus in the mm-hmm. same week. And Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen kind of threw shade, but they didn't specifically throw shade. They were just like, you know, there's been issues with him connecting with them going mm-hmm. deep. And I picked Minnesota to win this division at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I thought their offense looked great and their defense was going to be sound. But now I'm starting to have some doubts because Kirk Cousins isn't very good. I mean against good teams.
They looked better with Case Keenum last year, to be honest with you. Yeah, he's got 2,000-yard receivers and then a 1,000-yard running back and Dalvin Cook right behind him. I mean, the way they're investing in this offense, fellas, they don't have time to work things out. They got to go right now.
Yeah.
Kirk has always been so questionable in what he does, too, when he was with Washington, right? I mean, but he's just not getting it done. But, of course, the wide receivers opening up their mouths, man. I mean, every week now it's a new – well, two of them, right?
Yeah.
And what was up with the hoodie over the mouth when he was when Diggs was being interviewed? Did you guys see that?
No.
Because he said he had a cold.
I think he's threatening not to play Sunday. Yeah. I think he's saying he might not play.
Said there's some truth to the rumors. So
truth to the rumors. That's a little odd because it's like, don't say there's truth to the rumors and then be like, well, you know, not even address the original question that they asked you. But that wasn't even really what they asked. They were just like, well, there's some truth to the rumor. Like, it's not a rumor. Like, we heard Adam Thielen say these things, and we heard Kirk Cousins apologize for not being able to get the ball to him. So it's not a rumor. It's out there.
And he turned around and said that the media said that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It came right out of his mouth.
We saw it. Yeah. Like, I think we live in a culture now where people think that they can say things on TV and we won't remember that we saw it.
Maybe it's the cold medicine he was taking.
Maybe. Kirk Cousins, he's 36, 39, and 2 for his career. So he's literally like a 500 quarterback. And he had a stat going on for a while where it was like, I think he'd only won like two or three times against teams that had above 500 records like in his career.
Yeah, he has not beaten really good competitive teams. And it looked like, to me, I agree, Des, they were the obvious favorite in that division to take it. But the way the Packers are playing now.
And then the Bears have a great defense still, Khalil Mack. And then, you're right, the Packers. The Packers seem like they're kind of, I'm not really sure about them. I don't think they're going to win Sunday against the Cowboys. I mean, it's in Jerry World. And I just don't know about the Packers because I can't really name anybody other than Devontae Adams that that Aaron Rodgers has to throw to.
Aaron Jones is having a great year in the backfield for them, and I think this is the best Green Bay defense we've seen in years.
Sure it is.
Goodness.
Moving around, we're just doing around the NFL, and we're going to talk about the Panthers matchup a little bit later on during the rundown. 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you got a question about anything happening in the NFL currently right now. Pat Mahomes has thrown for over 1,500 yards in his first four games. He's currently on pace for over 6,000 yards in a season, which would obliterate the current season record held by Peyton Manning, which was 5,477. Me and Aaron were actually doing some football math in the studio yesterday to figure out what he would need. He would have to average 375 yards passing per game to get the 6,000 yards.
That's nuts.
Can he do that?
No, I don't think. I mean, he can't. If he plays all 16 games and they all mean something, mm-hmm. without a doubt, this guy is absolutely incredible.
6,000?
But that's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he will beat Peyton Manning's record of 5,477. I mean, that's unbelievable, too.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it all depends. You know, are those last couple games, is Kansas City really going to need him? Who knows? You know, so that's a tough record to break. But, boy, that would be kind of neat. If he hits 6,000, the NFL has already completely changed, but that would change it even more.
He's getting some weapons back, too. And he's getting Tyreek Hill's
coming back this week. I agree, though. By the time, you know, week 15, 16 rolls around, he may not even be playing that much, like you said, John. I mean, they're up 12 games, 13 games, and you've already clinched a playoff spot. I could see them saving him for Brady and just, you know, getting ready for the playoffs. But if it comes down to it, he's definitely got the talent and the weapons. I mean, it's been next man up for this group all year. Whoever's out, they just fill in.
That winning two-minute drive was pretty impressive by him last week.
I mean, and Aaron's in the house. He's the resident Pat Mahomes fanatic.
Project Pat.
It was quite a coincidence. As soon as we mentioned Pat Mahomes, he walked in the door.
He popped in like a Pat Mahomes leprechaun or something.
It's like the perfect segment for Aaron.
It's like the Rick James smoke came up and everything. It was like, oh, man.
Yeah, I'm enjoying my vibe.
I got to mention it. Let's move over to the NFC East real quick, because last night while we were doing, I don't know if you saw this, Brandon, while we were out running around, and I don't know if you saw this yet either, John, but while we were trying to get home last night, a video popped up online of Washington Redskins coach Jay Gruden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What is that? Apparently, is that real?
Smoking some dope and trying to get some young honey.
He's
like,
yeah, he's out of, and it kind of broke it down. That's literally what's in the video. He's literally smoking, it looks like he's smoking marijuana in front of a bar.
This past week? Or was that an older video? I think they're saying
it's an older video. There's no timestamp on it, so we don't know when it happened.
It's his face closed up, and they're all yelling, Jay,
yeah, they're chanting Jay in the video.
It can't be anybody else but you.
There's two clips. There's a clip of him outside. It looks like he's smoking like a joint. And then there's another clip of him with like a young lady, like sitting on a curb or something.
Yeah, like
his legs are
kind of
out. And he just looks like he's just.
He looked like a bum. He looked like two sheets to the wind.
He looked just high. He did. Yeah. So my question is, will Jay Gruden still have a job come Monday morning? Because they were already talking about firing him before this came out, and now this is out. And the other story that came out regarding Jay Gruden was regarding Dwayne Haskins, about how he did not apparently want to draft Haskins, and Haskins knows this. So now you got a situation in the building from the start of the season where the guy you drafted to be your future quarterback has found out that you did not want him, and he has to go and listen to you every day in practice and see you. I mean, they advanced Colt McCoy as the starter for Sunday. Is Jay keeping his job?
Well,
should he?
We're on until noon. We're probably going to hear something before noon.
Keep eye on Twitter, fellas. I don't know if they would fire him the day before a game, right?
I mean,
when they just let him coach that game.
And that little doobie he had looked like a cigar doobie size for crying out loud.
He wasn't fooling around. I know, he was not. I think he's canned, honestly, fellas. You're not winning games.
They're 0-4.
You're 0-4. The future of the franchise doesn't believe in you. You're high.
He's checking things off the list. He's like, not winning, smoking pot, no one likes you, you didn't want the quarterback.
And that was a young girl, too, man.
Yeah, man. So, and I don't even know if she was feeling it. He might have some charges coming up on that as well.
Was John Gruden in the background at all or no?
It wouldn't surprise me. He's
spider
back there.
Two-eye banana.
The brothers Gruden out for a night.
See Antonio Brown pop out somewhere.
The Redskins are 0-4. They've only scored 66 points the entire season right now. It's not looking good. So we'll keep an eye on that. And, hey, the past couple weeks, things have broke during the rundown, breaking news. So we'll see if something happens between now and noon. Who is the best?
Wait, this just in, the marijuana he was smoking was for medical reasons.
Okay, so there you go. It's cataracts.
Makes sense.
It's cataracts.
He's stressed, man. Coaching the Redskins.
Yeah. Probably need to also.
He probably wants out by now.
Yeah, maybe this guy, maybe Jay leaked this. He's like, maybe if I can leak this out, and then that way they can let me out of here.
Talking to Antonio Brown's media people, right, yeah.
He's like, so how did you get out of Oakland? Because I got a situation in D.C. right now. Who is the best team in the NFC? Because after last week when the Cowboys-Saints matchup, I wasn't really looking at the Saints as a team that was one of the best teams. But now I'm looking at them more. They were built to win this year. And Teddy Bridgewater, I don't consider him a backup quarterback.
No, he's really good.
He's good. And he's been sitting underneath Sean Payton for 2 years learning the system. Are the Saints one of the best teams in the NFC? They're 3-1.
And then when Drew comes back, holy crap, they're going to be good. And I know that kills you, man. I know you're not a Saints guy.
I don't know if Drew's going to come back this year.
And I don't think he has to be honest. He might not. I mean, Teddy B's out there, Harlem shaking through the pressure. He's trying to stay in the league.
And I've always liked him, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he had a couple good years. Who was he with? Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota. He had that horrific leg injury.
I can't believe he's running
And he was having a good
right
year
now.
Before that.
But yeah. Before he was that was like his, what, second year, third mm-hmm. year? He was just starting to get into it.
But you got it, you know. Dallas still looks really, really good.
I like Dallas.
They would have been
my
number one before that Saints game. But yeah. I also like the Seahawks and the way Russell Wilson's doing.
I was hoping you were going to bring that up. Yeah. Wow, is that guy having a year? I mean, he's had just an incredible career. But he is
MVP
like,
candidate?
He's pitching a perfect.
Oh, I think so.
Oh, absolutely. He's probably not. I mean, between him and Mahomes, it's a toss-up right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's having the best season of his career right now, to be
12 touchdowns, zero interceptions.
What is wrong with the Atlanta Falcons?
They're soft.
They're 1-3. Matt Ryan is throwing the ball all over the yard to everybody.
Offensive coordinator ever since.
You know, the thing that bothers me about Atlanta is that I feel like they get a lot of national, like, rub that I feel sometimes that they don't give the Panthers. Like, it feels like every year they pick Atlanta and New Orleans to win the South, the national media.
And they stick us with the Bucks.
Yeah, it's always like they're always like, well, why are you picking the South? Well, they've got Matt Ryan. He's an MVP, former winner. They've got a good offense. The
best
defense coming around.
Football.
They got best receiver, blah, 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 blah. But then, like, you talk about the Panthers nationally, they don't even talk about the same things. They've got an MVP at quarterback. They've got a defensive player of the year, middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. They've got a two-time coach of the year coaching the team. I don't know. I don't understand why they don't get that. Like I said, we're going to talk about the Panthers because there's a lot to chop up with them.
Definitely.
They're taking on the Jaguars Sunday on CBS at 1 p.m. So we will also break them down as well. Is there a team in the AFC we should keep an eye on? Because right now it's breaking down into a two-way battle between the Patriots and the Chiefs for the best team over there. But everything else looks like 500-ish. Like, I'm just looking around. I'm trying to pick a team to come out of this pack. Is it the Cleveland Browns?
I think it could be the Browns, but I'm going to throw it out.
They got work to do, though.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills could be a team to watch, fellas.
Good pick. That was the only other one.
Yeah. I'm hot because the Bills have a great defense.
They have an awesome defense, and Allen is just playing out of his mind.
Is he going to be available Sunday? Because didn't he get knocked out with a concussion last week?
He got beat up last week.
So we'll see. But the Bills are 3-1. Their only loss is to the Patriots.
And if they cut down on the mistakes, they win that football game. I mean, they were in it the entire game.
But after that, I mean, it is a complete toss-up.
Yeah, the Browns are 2-2. Ravens are 2-2. The entire AFC South is 2-2.
I started to believe in the Ravens, but after last week,
they've took two.
I think teams have figured the Ravens out already. They were averaging almost over 200 yards on the ground per game between Mark Ingram and, I guess, Lamar Jackson and whatever else they're running. But I think teams are starting to slowly figure them out. The Browns have a lot of stuff coming back. Like, their whole secondary was injured.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Kareem Hunt yet. He's a Brown. Yeah. People forget that.
After six games, he comes back.
Him and Bradley Chubb is a nasty duo.
Yes. The Browns are
Nick Chubb.
But again, they have
Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, my bad.
The Browns have a little bit of work to do, but they looked really good last week. And, I mean, again, I'd still like to see them make a move. You know, this is their opportunity because the AFC is
wide open.
I'm sitting there trying to figure out, like, the AFC South, every team is 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville's not bad.
No, they're not.
And this quarterback is doing a heck of a job. Actually, I'll be up in the stands tomorrow night in that Panther game.
Ooh. Nice.
So that's going to be kind of
fun. Is it a 1 p.m. kick or a 4? It's 1? Okay. I'm looking at the AFC South. So the Texans are 2-2. Mm-hmm. They've scored 78 points this season. They have allowed 78 points this season. Huh. The Jags are 2-2. They've allowed 84 points this season. They've scored 84 points this season.
No kidding.
The Colts are 2-2. They've scored 94, allowed 102. Oof. And then the Titans have scored 91, but they've allowed 62. So it just looks like all of them are bunched together in this one like group. And I'm just looking at on paper, the Browns should actually probably end up being a 3 or a 4 seed when this is all over. But they can't keep going back and forth, win-loss. They're going to have to put together like a 5-game win streak or something.
And how about Odell not getting any touches?
None. I mean, it's like they're not even looking his direction.
How long before that explodes in their face?
Oh, you know Odell's not going for not
like
getting
two
the
more
football,
days.
Fellas.
He's been very quiet.
Too, though, outside of the Browns, maybe the Chargers, they're getting Melvin Gordon back really soon.
Yeah.
Starting running
back. Oh, yeah, I think
explosive.
This week.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen has been explosive this year. He's just got to stay healthy.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully he can stay healthy. Northern Guilford product. Allen here. Sawyer.
How do you guys feel on Perfect suspended for the entire, 2019-2020 season for that hit? Well, accumulation of hits.
I mean, somebody made a great point yesterday talking to David Glenn. They were like, when you get your license taken away, the last point you get when it takes it away, you don't get the license taken away because of what you did on that last point. Yeah. It's from an accumulation of points that you gathered on your record, and that's why your license gets taken away. And I understood it when the dude said it. The dude was on his knees, and he clearly was aiming for his head. I don't know about suspension for the entire year, but there's been a lot of players that have been coming out saying, this is a fraternity, we don't do that. Like he's kind of crossed the line.
Exactly.
So if the players are saying that, then you probably should go ahead and suspend
for the whole year.
Should he be available next year?
He's trying to end these, careers. I mean, that's crazy.
I think I agree. I see the license point of view. He definitely, I don't have a problem with him being out for the year just because of his past issues. And this isn't the first time we've seen him. But we've seen worse hits this season than that hit early on.
There was a worse hit that week. Mm-hmm. I think it was in the Tampa Bay game. Somebody got hit right at the goal line.
It was horrible. Blindside.
And no, I don't even think there was a flag call.
No, no penalty, no ejection, no suspension. I think Vontaze just, over the years, he's kind of been known, though, as a dirty player, kind of like Udomkin Sue.
A reputation.
But he's still got to make a living. And I think a 2-year ban without any criminal charges or any failed drug tests, that's a little ridiculous.
Is it 2 years?
No, but I mean, if he were saying he should be available next year.
Well, I mean, if he can't play next year, I mean, his career is going to probably be over.
That's ridiculous.
One last thing on hits. I don't know if you guys were watching the Seahawks game, but that Clay Matthews hit that kind of saved that drive. Well, how are you guys feeling on these quarterbacks? He literally hit him as soon as the ball was out of his hands, and that, gets a free first down, basically. And this has happened over and over and over.
And Clay Matthews has been, they've been hitting him with some weird penalties the last
I just saw he's going to be out. If it's the Clay Matthews, the same one, he broke his jaw. Clay Matthews has a broken jaw. He's out at least a month. Not sure when that happened. It happened sometime during that Seattle game on Thursday.
Because he got nailed on
concussion protocol.
He got nailed on a couple of those penalties last year.
Yeah, two or three of them. Just sacking the quarterback. Oh. I don't have any pity for them, though, because I've seen Cam Newton take
the Denver game season opener after the Super Bowl when they had to go out to Denver and they were trying to kill Cam Newton on camera.
The whole season.
And
I
no
like I was
flags.
A murder.
No flags. No one was calling him. And now people want to question why Cam's all banged up. It might be. And
even
Tom Brady's
Falcons
playing at
game,
age 42.
And I mean, you get a whole rule change because he missed that half a season with the knee injury. A guy fell on his leg. Now you can't even touch quarterback's legs.
Real quick before we take a break, are the Jets dumb enough to throw Sam Darnold out there with an enlarged spleen?
He's got to sit out this week.
I would think.
I hope not.
We mentioned before, in the NFL, the midsection is the only place you can hit a quarterback. Yep. You can't hit him in the head or the legs. You got to aim for the midsection. So throwing a kid out there that just had mono with an enraged.
When you hear the word death, it's time to take another week off.
Yeah, it might be a good idea.
He's got to think about the future.
So we do have our Twitter poll up now. Aaron, what is the Twitter poll question of the day?
This afternoon's Twitter poll question is, will you watch tonight's UFC middleweight title matchup between Robert Whittaker, who is the champion, and Israel Adesanya, new up-and-coming striker? It looks pretty exciting.
I don't know if I'll watch that, but I did stay up to about 3 a.m. last night when I got home from the football game and watched Friday Night SmackDown.
Oh gosh, don't even get me started. Yeah. I was so tired of it. Like 30 minutes in, I was like, I gotta turn this off.
He loved it. The Rock came out. Oh, it was awesome.
The end apparently was very, I mean, I don't know if you saw the end.
Cain Velasquez showed up at the end and basically punked Brock Lesnar. It was weird.
Oh, Cain Velasquez getting getting WWE money now?
He needs to get in the gym. Like, he came out with no shirt on, and he looks just soft, like doughy. Like, it was weird. Like,
compared to roided up Brock Lesnar, it's like, wait, what?
Like, Brock was all, like, cowering, and he's like, I don't want no parts of this.
Cain never looked like Mr. Wonderful. He's always kind of looked like he had an every guy's bod.
He looked like a croissant. Like an unbaked croissant when he walked
in the ring.
Some
cream cheese on him.
Because at first I was like, who is that? Is that Rey Mysterio's older brother? Because he came out with him. And the announcers were like, oh, it's Cain Velasquez. Brock, this is the last time to knock Brock Lesnar out. And Brock looks all like scared of him. And I'm like, why is he scared of this dude? This dude's like half his size. And then he gets in the ring and starts beating down Brock Lesnar. I'm like, so this is how we're going to do this? Because they gave Brock Lesnar the belt like, he beat Kofi Kingston last night in like 5 seconds.
Dang, Kofi didn't last. What,
took an F5 right out the gate. Months? Right out the gate, took an F5, and it was over. And everybody's like, oh, that's how they're going to do Kofi. You know, after 6 months, it's just done.
Speaking of WWE, though, I think they've got some new competition on Thursdays now with AEW and Chris Jericho coming to town.
Let me find out you watch wrestling. You know we'll throw saying? Some wrestling in these rundown segments. I've been waiting for someone because John doesn't watch wrestling. Rodney doesn't.
Right,
Sawyer pops in and out. I think Aaron doesn't watch it anymore. So I find someone that watches wrestling so we can talk about it. We got some high school football we need to discuss. Huge game last night. I can't wait to chop into it. Me and Brandon covered this game. Let's go ahead and get into our top five.
The number of the day, scheduled to arrive. The number of the day is five.
Top five.
Top five.
The number five.
Five.
Top five powered by SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. These are our top five area high school teams from around the triad. And we had some movement in the top five here. So let's go ahead and get that started with number
five.
That would be East Surrey. They were actually on a bye this past week, but they are 6-0. Came off a huge win against Reidsville last week. Mm-hmm. I did see Reidsville got back in the winning column last night. But had to show some respect to East Surrey. Brandon, East Surrey is a 1A school.
They are. And Jeffrey Boaz, they've got two ACC commits, though. Jeffrey Boaz, one of the top quarterbacks in the state right now, leading the state in passing, going to Carolina to play tight end. Then you got his guy, Steven Gosnell, who's going to play receiver at NC State. And both these guys play quarterback and receiver, so they're out there rotating, throwing touchdowns.
There's a great article that Brandon did on SportsCarolinaMonthly.com on Boaz if you want to check out. This kid, he's what, 6'7"?
6'7", and every bit of 6'7". Goodness. Plays baseball, has got a few scholarship offers in basketball.
Let's say he plays some basketball. Roy might have him try to walk on or something.
Man, I'm telling you, he's got some skills.
Let's hit the next.
Four.
That would be the Dudley Panthers. They are 5-1 on the season. They were also on a bye last night, but ever since they lost to West Forsyth, that beat down week one, they've been rolling, and they've just gotten better and better. My understanding is they're not really throwing the ball very much. They're keeping it on the ground.
Yeah, the defense is playing really well. Miles Murphy, Peyton Page, but I think they got to get Mike Wyman in going here in transition. They got to get him involved in this offense. Not really throwing him the ball. You got a USC commit, a top 100 receiver. Got to find some way to get him the football.
Three.
That would be the Reagan Raiders. 6-0 in the season. Won last night 62-15 winners over Northwest Guilford. Yeah. Reagan is out here just beating people down, and not a lot of people were talking about him. I will, because Reagan is good. Gabriel Hollingsworth at quarterback.
Yeah.
They got some studs over there, and their
DJ
defense
Moyer,
legit.
DJ Moyer, too, at running back.
Yeah.
Track champion. He's really good.
So Reagan is they're in the same conference as our number one and two. So really our top three are all in the same conference
goodness.
Together.
Yes.
Two.
Number two is West Forsyth. They take over that number two slot. Last night, they moved to 6-0 in the season. 26-7 winners over Page. Page is having, they're going through some hard times, like Dusty Rhodes used to say. Hard times. Just going through some hard times right now.
It's the toughest of times.
What are they, 1-5, I believe, right now? Yeah. Page is, they're having a bad year right now. But it's all right. It's not all right, but this too shall pass. Last time this happened, the next 2 years, I think they were in the state championship game or something. It was a couple years ago.
If history has a chance of repeating itself, be happy.
West Forsyth moves to the number two spot, which means
one.
Number one's East Forsyth. Let's talk about this game for a second. So they were playing Grimsley last night, and if you recall the last time on the rundown, Grimsley was the number two team in this this poll. They are no longer in it. Not because of anything more than I just wanted to get East Surrey up in there because they're undefeated, and I couldn't figure out who to move out of it. Grimsley's probably number six right now, but East Forsyth defeated Grimsley 21-20 last night at Jameson Stadium, a packed house. Jameson seats 10,000 people. It's one of the largest high school stadiums in the state, if not the largest, other than Memorial Coliseum in Charlotte's bigger. But Jameson Stadium's been around since 1949. The Grimsley fans came out. The East fans came out. It was a great night outside. Just starting off the game, East Forsyth jumped out to an early lead, 21-0, and they were doing pretty much whatever they wanted. Both teams going back and forth down the field. Third quarter, though, Grimsley comes out, holds East Forsyth, does not score, had made East punt like three times, which was weird. Haven't seen East punt three times in a game in a while. Mm-hmm. And then in the fourth quarter, their running back, Quan Nora, and I didn't get the final stats for this, and I probably should go look those up, but Quan Nora is a grown man playing high school football.
I think they said unofficially it was 229 yards on the ground.
We were getting some stats in the booth as we were trying to leave, and I think he had 229 on the ground and another 60 plus in the air.
I mean, just the kid is amazing. To me, he looked like the best running back on the field last night.
He did that against an East Forsyth defense that prides itself on not allowing guys to run up and down on him, and he was literally going through the middle of their defensive line like a hot knife through butter.
All night.
He had a 65-yard touchdown run where we haven't seen a kid that looks faster than the whole of the East Forsyth defense in some time. When he hit that hole and saw daylight and there was no one really within 5 yards of him, like 10 yards after he got past the line, you could see from the booth that no one was going to catch him. Like, he just literally separated from everyone as he was running down the field. That brought the game to 21-14. They hold East Forsyth again on offense to a punt, and then Grimsley basically starts on their own 20 with about 8-9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They keep the ball in the 7-8 minute long drive. They get all the way down, score a touchdown on a quarterback keeper by Chris Zealous, who impressed me last night also.
That made
the score 21-20. East Forsyth then blocks the extra point with about 2 minutes to go. It was Javon McAllister.
Yeah, he had a hell of a game last night. He had a
great game last night.
Man.
He also had the fumble recovery for a touchdown, which accounted for the 21 points for East Forsyth.
He had an interception last night.
Yeah, he had an interception that he ran back for a touchdown, but it got called back because as he hit the end zone, he taunted the Grimsley band. As he ran in, he did something to the band, and the ref was standing right there, like he pointed at him or something. So they threw the flag for that. And then during the return, there was a block in the back or something. But I couldn't find it on the replay anywhere. But we saw the flag go up right around the 40. But he ran it back for about 70 yards. They called that back. East blocks the extra point attempt. And then it's 21-20. There's still about a minute 48 left in the whole game. Grimsley kicks an onside kick, and they get it back. So they're on the Eagles' 35-yard line. And from that point on, the East Forsyth defense did not allow a yard. Like, they literally did not go forward. Like, it was 1st and 10, 2nd and 10, 3rd and 10. Grimsley had to go forward on 4th and 10 just to keep the drive alive because it was like a 55-yard field goal. Maybe a little longer than that. And the Eagles sacked Chris Zealous on 4th down.
The kid Zion Reeves played really well last night. 6'7", man. Just long body.
And East felt – we were talking to Alan Plaster at the end of the game. We were leaving, and we just kind of caught a vibe that it felt more like the Eagles never trailed in this game. They led the entire time, but you caught a sense that, especially in the fourth quarter, the momentum had shifted to Grimsley, and it felt like East survived the game.
Yeah, it really did.
And I think the players and the coaches and all of them would say that too. And I think they got a lot more respect for Grimsley today waking up than they did walking into Jameson Stadium. Not that they took them lightly or anything, but Grimsley came to play.
Oh, they did. And that kid, Quan Nora, needs to have
nice
just about every school in North Carolina. And like you said, you haven't seen anybody that's really faster than East defense.
Or stronger.
He's 6'2", 215, moving like that. I mean, this kid's bullying kids. Solid.
Like even if it was like a 4 yard or 5 yard gain, he worked for it. Like, he was pushing piles and moving. Like, guys were hanging off of him.
He was dragging
them forward. I had not seen it before. Like, the East Forsyth defensive line, they probably got touched up by Coach Willard in the locker room when all was said.
I mean, they
weren't running. Usually teams try to outrun East by going to the left or to the right of the line and outrunning them to the corner. And East is so quick sideline to sideline that usually it doesn't work. Grimsley said, forget that. We're going to run right down your throat. And you just, we're going to do this. We're
either
going to, Zealous is going to keep it, or he's going to hand it to Nora, that, or he's going to pass it to Nora. That's really all we're going to do. That's all they needed to do. And they had that. Who's that tight end that Grimsley had?
They had Albright. 6'4 kid.
Yeah.
And I wish they would have, he was out there on an island by himself a few plays. I mean, East's defensive backs are on the shorter side. He had a matchup with Jordan Timmons, who's 5'9".
Yeah.
Got your 6'4 tight end, and they don't even give him a shot at the fade on an island at that.
Guys, with everything I've heard, okay, I mean, I've been listening to you guys, and it sounds like it was an unbelievable game. Grimsley was right with the state champion East Forsyth.
Did not fold.
Right
they did
with,
not fold.
Okay.
Yeah.
It took a special team play.
And you're impressed with certain players, this and that. And you drop them out of the top five? I got to question that.
Well, I mean, who could I take out? West Forsyth's undefeated. Reagan's undefeated, and they're beating the brakes off people.
But here's a team
Dudley's
that played with your number one team. And
this
had
would be like that Bama argument.
The only,
it is.
Yeah,
it's exactly.
The only team I could drop would be East Surrey.
And I think
and they just beat Reidsville.
And I think you can't drop. I think that's one team you absolutely cannot drop is East Surrey.
Right.
Just what they're
I was
doing
like,
right
I now. I was going to put them in last week after they beat Reidsville. And I was like, eh, let me think about it another week.
I mean, we're talking about Reidsville here.
Well, you're thinking, or who's number five?
East Surrey. They beat Reidsville last week.
And I mean, Reidsville was on like a 50-game win, something crazy.
Yeah, something nuts. Like, and then Reidsville just scored 45 last night. So
it's tough, but I feel like you're right, though. Grimsley, they have a right to be in the top five.
You should have had a tie.
I'm at six. They're right at six.
I mean, yeah, they were, man, Grimsley's tough, man. That was my first time seeing them. I'm just smiling thinking about that game.
It was so good. Yeah.
It was just.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
Going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Check out the Triad Racing Podcast with Randy Pettit each week on the Sports Carolina Monthly Podcast Network. Exclusive interviews with top racers from the past, present, and future. Current episodes now available via Spotify, Google, Apple, Anchor, and much more. That is the Triad Racing Podcast with Randy Pettit, now available for streaming or download for listening on the go. He's basically interviewed all the popular drivers at Bowman Gray and Ace Speedway out in Burlington. Ace Speedway is one of the sponsors for the Triad Racing Podcast, and it's still going on even though the seasons have ended. He's still getting these exclusive interviews with these drivers, so definitely go and check that out. Let's get a Twitter poll update from Aaron. Remind us again what the Twitter poll question was and give us an update on where we're sitting right now.
Today's Twitter poll question is, would you watch tonight's UFC middleweight championship bout between Robert Whittaker and Israel Adesanya? 64% of the listening public say no, they will not tune in to watch the middleweight championship.
I don't even know who those people are.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
Sorry's a big UFC fan. I don't even know who those people are.
I think Forrest Whitaker's going down.
Forrest Whitaker?
Robert Whitaker. My bad. Robert Whitaker.
It's weird.
I would watch Forrest Whitaker.
I'd watch Forrest Whitaker.
You might have seen Adesanya. I don't know if you've seen him. He's kind of built like Aaron. Tall, lanky, and Whittaker is like...
Was that a compliment, an insult?
I don't know
what it is.
That's a compliment, yeah. But Whittaker is built like a brick, and he's short and stocky, so it's like two guys going at it.
You don't see me? I'm built like a killing machine, man.
Oh, man.
You came here like you wanted to trade some hands with Brandon after that LeBron comment.
Man, this dude is foolishness, man. I keep telling this guy.
Still sticking to it.
I moved to ban to vote. To ban Brandon from talking basketball.
Like, we'll just mute his mic anytime we talk NBA.
Anytime we enter basketball, just Brandon's not allowed.
Yeah, I'm going with the young up-and-comer, though.
I'm going to bring you a Jordan jersey or something. You just have to wear it, like, every Saturday or whatever. Just in
Be ashamed.
The Panthers taking on Jacksonville tomorrow, 1 p.m. kickoff. I have it written down here. It's on Fox. I was wrong. It's on CBS. Christian McCaffrey was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Month for September. Is he the best all-around running back in the league right now? I'm going to say yeah.
I think he's in a debate for sure.
Like, who else would you put up there? Like, all-around running back, not just a...
Definitely Saquon Barkley.
Well, he's hurt, so...
But
yeah,
he's
out this
ready
game.
To come back.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming back next week,
which
I'm
is
sure.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he had an ankle sprain.
That was supposed to be like a 6 to 7 week gig,
and
he's going to be back in
jumping
2 weeks
around in practice
them,
already.
McCaffrey is unbelievable, man. And the Panthers are using, and I hate to use this word, abusing him, because they are going to use him as much as they can I mean, he's in every play.
Why
it's
not?
Unbelievable. No, Emmitt Smith,
North Turner ran Emmitt Smith like that. He ran LaDainian Tomlinson like that too.
And that's the way he wants it.
And they're both Hall of Famers.
He is a football player, and yeah. I'm going to agree. I think he's the best in the game right now. Yeah, what he does.
He's definitely killed it. And the fact that you can easily lot him up at receiver too. He doesn't have to come out of the backfield.
He runs the best route tree of any running back in the league. Like by far, he runs them like wide receivers mm-hmm. do. Like he's crisp. He's always open, mm-hmm. and he's got hands. That catch he made in the fourth quarter against Arizona last week,
the diving where he almost dropped it, bobbled it,
and like caught it. Man, dude is unreal.
That was unreal.
Incredible. I hope he gets his 200 total yards tomorrow.
He's gonna get an extension probably next year.
Oh well, yeah,
no, he's still got a couple more.
They
got to
keep him on there. He's in his second year.
This is third year. This is third year.
So, yeah, he's got two more years on that rookie deal.
Yeah, and then they can tag him after that. So I mean, literally, he'll be like 29 before he can even see. That's why I never had a problem with Zeke going after his money, because with running backs, especially first round pick running backs, they have your rights for the first six, maybe 7 years of your career. At that point, you're 30 years old.
Yeah, you got to get that big money, the second contract.
And most of them haven't been getting that, so I don't mind that at all. Are you guys buying into the Gardner Minshew mania that's been
so far so good?
I like the stash.
Yeah, he looks good in the stash.
The Uncle Rico outfits. He's got the Uncle Rico.
That play the other week, you saw that where he like juked out about 3-4 defenders and lobbed it perfectly in the corner of the end zone.
Found it.
I like Gardner. I do. He can't win this week, but I like Gardner. I think I like his story. I like what it is.
And he was a beast at Washington State too in college.
He started at ECU. Josh Graham covered him while he was there. And there's like this myth, this legend of Gardner Minshew. Like he used to walk around with a fifth of Jack Daniels in his waistband. And
he's an odd dude.
He stretches in his jock strap in the locker room. Jock strap only.
Mm-hmm. who would have thought a year ago, Minshew versus Allen is the matchup tomorrow?
Yeah. And I mean, and it's going to be an interesting one. Can the Panthers contain Leonard Fournette? Because the Panthers have the number 4th ranked overall defense in terms of yards allowed. They actually have the number 1 ranked pass defense, which a lot of people aren't aware of. But the Panthers are banged up. I need to go pull up their injury report because they got a lot of people out. KK Short is on the injured reserve. They lost him for the season.
He's going to have surgery.
So that moves Vernon Butler into a bigger role. And he's a former first-round pick, one of the few misses that Dave Gettleman had in the draft for the Panthers. And he did not get extended for a fifth year. Mm-hmm. This is a chance for him to show himself to Tyree Poe in that defensive tackle rotation and Gerald McCoy, who they signed over from Tampa Bay. But Leonard Fournette, I think he ran for 200 yards last week.
Can they stop him?
Can the Panthers defense come up with a game plan to stop Leonard Fournette?
I think if any defense candidate he's faced so far, it would be the Panthers. But Leonard Fournette's been running hard. He looks healthy, looks slimmer, more muscular right now. He's fast. And that offensive line's really opening up some holes. It's going to be a tough task. And he can catch the ball, too.
That was the question.
My son actually got us the tickets. And when he said, I go, what game is it? He goes, it's the Jacksonville game. And at first I go, And then I'm starting to think, this is one hell of a matchup tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, because Jacksonville, I don't want to say, I mean, they're a little bit underrated. I mean, they're a pretty good football team.
They are. I don't think people know what to expect with, you get a backup quarterback. Jalen Ramsey also hasn't been with the team playing. So I think it was just a little unpredictable.
Got my boy from Syracuse, Doug Marrone, coaching him.
Last week, Leonard Fournette had 29 rushing attempts for 225 yards. He was rushing for a 7.8-yard clip. And he had 81-yard run that he almost scored a touchdown.
I think it was weird. He had, what'd you say, 225, and he didn't have any touchdowns.
Yeah, no touchdowns. That's nuts. He was just working. Kyle Allen, I like what I've seen so far. I do not like the fumbles. He's had 5 fumbles in 2 games, and he's lost 4 of them. Mm-hmm. Is that something he can stop, or are you happy with his play so far? Because I make the mistake of going into Panther Facebook groups throughout the week, and I'm in the largest one on Facebook. It's like 80,000 strong in there, and it feels like half the fan base just doesn't want Cam Newton to come back, not because of anything other than just superficial, just dumb
stuff. We don't like his clothes.
Yeah, he dresses funny, or he only thinks about himself.
Cam Newton's selfish.
Cam Newton's bad for everybody, bad for America.
And he's like, cocky.
We don't like him. He don't belong here.
A story came out, I think like literally today or yesterday. He took like 60 Panthers fans on like a charity cruise that like benefited his like foundation. And his last words are, we ain't done yet. So I think he's actually looking, he's ready to come back strong.
Did everyone see the video at this point, the Cam Newton video with the cigar and the scarf, and he's talking about him, you know, hiding the injury and all that. I didn't catch the vibe, because I had been on the one on the train saying I thought that maybe he would think about retirement. I didn't catch that vibe from him at all in that video.
Nah, I think
it was
ready,
total opposite.
Ready
yeah.
to come back, like he got something to prove.
And I think probably around the San Francisco game, because the Panthers have a bye. They have Tampa next week in London, if I'm not mistaken, and then they have a bye. And then after that, they have San Francisco.
Okay, so that's
San Francisco.
Another solid 3 weeks.
I think that's what he's targeting to come back as San Francisco.
But I think you may have a problem, though, if Allen wins those three games.
So that's my question. If Allen keeps winning, say Allen hadn't lost a game and we get to the San Francisco game, do they just hand the keys back to Cam Newton or do they ride with the hot hand?
If he's 100% healthy, I think you go back to Cam Newton. But
which that's not going
to
be.
He has to be 100%. There's no reason for him to play if he is not at max 100% ready to go.
I
do not have to rush him.
If I agree with John. He won't be 100% healthy in
then I think
November
you,
or whatever.
I think you got to keep him out then.
And I mean, but look at that scenario you just came up with. Let's hope that it's that. If that
I mean,
Kyle
at that
Allen
point,
the
Panthers
three
would be
games,
they'd be 5-2.
So why rush him back?
And stick with Allen, and then you know, see what happens.
And you can let Cam sit to maybe December.
Maybe get another game or two without Cam, you know, to heal.
Yeah.
But your question was, are you happy with?
Are you happy with his play
Absolutely.
So far?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Well,
two wins,
two
I'll
and
take
oh.
it.
No, the fumbles are horrible.
I give the Houston win to the, I give the game ball to the Panthers defense. They,
they played very well.
Yeah,
they played
really
very well.
But he still is, I mean, he looks confident back there, and we're lucky to have a backup like him right now.
And he's making plays.
He didn't like this last year. Like, he's grown in the role, and he's the backup quarterback. The most popular guy to the fan base is always the backup quarterback. So everybody always wants to, you know, have a Nick Foles type moment, Kurt Warner, that kind of thing. But if anyone thinks that the Panthers are going to win the Super Bowl with Kyle Allen instead of Cam Newton, you are crazy.
You're hanging out with Jay Gruden.
You're eating crazy. You're hanging out inside that bar with Jay Gruden. Because, I hate people throwing dirt on Cam Newton for things that have nothing to do with football.
And to call him selfish is just ignorant.
All
at
the
this
charity
point.
Stuff he does, the I stuff mean, he does in the community.
He holds a whole football league.
Why would he want to stay? Like, I mean, it feels like people are trying to push him out of Charlotte, and I'm just like, why? Like, this is the best thing that's happened to this franchise since he got here.
I feel like, I mean, if Cam can come back healthy with the defense and McCaffrey, and, like, when I was watching that Seahawks game, like, the decision-making, like, Russell was making, you know, on his, like, little short runs and then checkdowns, if that's to McCaffrey and you have Cam running, like, that's almost unstoppable having that dual threat if he's healthy.
Yes, that's what –
it
that's
just
what,
has to, like, come back.
He has to come back. He has to be able to run. I think we learned that out of all this, that Cam cannot be – just a pocket passer.
Well, it diminishes his talents.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking that away.
Why would you take it away?
A Cam Newton with a sore foot and a sore shoulder is worthless right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Get healthy, Cam. We're in the Cam Newton fan club camp, so get healthy so you can get back. This team, I thought they had the potential to win the NFC South at the beginning of the year, and especially now with Drew Brees being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Hand injuries, thumb injuries are tricky. I know they said maybe 6 weeks, but I'm
expecting
maybe longer.
Couldn't even hold a football when
it happened. What if that never comes back? You know, like, because that's potentially something that could happen too. Who wins this game tomorrow?
I'm taking the Carolina Panthers. I think they have enough to get it done. They're hot right now, and I think they do have the defense to maybe not shut down Leonard Fournette, but they could contain him.
And Jacksonville has a good defense, too. I'm looking 21-17 Panthers.
I was going to say, I'm like that, too. I think it's going to be a defensive game.
Yeah.
The Jaguars have a pretty decent defense. Calais Campbell, Jalen Ramsey's not going to play.
That's good.
Yeah, Calais Campbell had a heck of a game, though, a couple weeks ago, man. He's been wrecking stuff.
And I will say this about Kyle Allen. He spreads the ball around.
Yeah,
he hits
like
everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel's been more involved. Greg Olsen's been a factor lately.
You got Hogan out there catching.
Yeah, Chris Hogan's
passes.
Running around doing stuff.
No,
so.
He's out.
Oh, Chris
Hogan's
Hogan.
Out.
Yeah, he's injured, isn't he? Yeah,
he's out for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
What?
Oh,
can you believe
my.
That? That's
yeah,
another
I think
injury.
Back.
I hated
he's on
to
the
see
IR.
That.
Oh,
yes.
Man. So, yeah, so that's what I was doing. I was
it comes down
caught
like four passes in a Panthers uniform.
Now he's out. But what it comes down to, we just mentioned both defenses, you know, very good defenses. It's going to come down to turnovers, man. And if Kyle Allen can keep the ball, no turnovers, Panthers have a real good shot. And if they go if they're 3-2 after this week, boy, it's a whole different ball game, man.
The Panthers have ruled Dante Jackson out for Sunday's game against Jacksonville. He's got a groin injury. He didn't practice all week. They'll also be without two starters on the offensive line. Trey Turner is out with an ankle injury, and Greg Little, the rookie, left tackle rookie, he's out with a concussion. Neither one of them practiced through the week either. Of course, Cam Newton is out. Chris Manhurts, the tight end, he has a concussion. He's out. Edge rusher Brian Burns, who's looked great. Actually, he was
the defensive rookie of the month,
NFC. Mm-hmm. He's got a wrist injury, but he did practice fully on Friday. He's listed as questionable. Eric Reed has an ankle injury. He was a limited participant Friday. Gerald McCoy has a knee. He's questionable for Sunday. This is like the one season in the NFL where everybody's just banged up. Like, if you can get to the end of the year healthy, you're probably going to win the Super Bowl, because every team feels like they've got 15 dudes that are just hurt. Half the quarterbacks are hurt.
It feels like that.
It's nuts.
And the injuries are lingering. It's keeping guys out for a lot of games.
It's changing predictions, too, in terms of, like, well, who we thought was going to be good, because everyone was on Pittsburgh's bandwagon, and Ben gets hurt. And so, I don't know. Interesting, though. But so, good game tomorrow. We'll see what the Panthers can do with the Jags. Coming up, everyone gives their predictions on what will happen in the world of sports, the rundown, hot takes. Plus, I'm going to give my boys an opportunity to change my mind. Why should Dez watch the Major League Baseball playoffs? I've got two guys in here that watch baseball, and they're going to attempt to get me hype for the baseball playoffs here. Next on the rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
The Dixie Classic Fair at the Winston-Salem Fairgrounds, October the 4th through the 13th, celebrating its 137th year. Are you a fair foodie? Turkey legs, candy apples. I heard they have stuffed turkey legs this year. I don't even know what that even does. I don't know.
And Philly cheesesteak bombs. I don't know what it is, but I'll take one of those.
Fried Philly cheesesteak, like in a ball,
like
maybe?
A dough ball.
Yeah, and they just dump. Oh my God, that sounds interesting. Donuts, candy apples, and more. Show us with your hashtag, how do you fare, and visit dcfair.com today. Fireworks, rides, and food nightly. The Dixie Classic Fair is in the house. They are in the Triad right now for the next week and a half. I said earlier in the broadcast that I was going to give my boys a chance to, quote unquote, change my mind. So this is how this is going to work, and this might be something we do going forward each week. 60 seconds for each question for me. John and Brandon will attempt to answer these in the 60-second allotment for each one of the questions. Sorry if you want to throw them some music or something to kind of accentuate this. We can make that happen as well. Set a stop clock for 60 seconds. At the end of 60 seconds, give me a buzzer sound so we know where we are. And I'm going to ask these questions to my compadres here, Johnny O and Brandon. The Major League Baseball playoffs kicked off this week. Just real quick before we even get into that, let me run off the scores and where they are right now. And I should have been more prepared for this. Houston leads their series 1-0. They won yesterday 6-2 over Tampa Bay. Atlanta winners yesterday over St. Louis 3-0. That series is tied at 1-1.
Great series.
The Yankees have a 1-0 lead over Minnesota. They won big yesterday 10-4. And the Nationals defeated the Dodgers 4-2. That series is tied at 1-1.
That's surprising right there.
That is,
I'm excited. Nationals,
the Nats are giving them a series.
I think it goes 5.
All right. So, Sawyer, are you guys ready in there? Let's go ahead and get this going. I'm kind of curious to see what kind of music he picked for this, because
before you even get started, I would recommend not watching the Major League playoffs this year. The Boston Red Sox are not a participant. They are the defending champs. They're sitting home and watching, Netflix or something.
Probably, yeah, man, who knows what they're doing. All right, let's go ahead and get this thing going. Okay. All right, so change my mind. Fellas, are the Houston Astros the Major League version of the Golden State Warriors? Why are they so good? Isn't Houston being so good over the past 3 years the exact same thing fans told me about Golden State being head and shoulders over the rest of the NBA for the past 4 years? Doesn't that suck the suspense out of the playoffs?
I don't think so. One thing that's different about them is they don't have a Kevin Durant. They took years to build this team from the ground up, and they surprised a lot of people because they were so young when they won the first year, the last year. I think they're really good. They're beatable, though. They're definitely beatable. It's a toss-up in baseball.
Oh, it's a toss-up. They're not the Golden State Warriors of Major League Baseball. Again, I just said, you know, the Red Sox won it last year.
No, they did.
Yeah, and 2 years ago.
They beat Houston, didn't they?
Yes, they did, and Houston won it the year before.
Yeah, shocked everybody.
They're close to it, though. Houston is loaded.
Yeah.
And, to watch them, Justin Verlander. Their pitching staff is incredible. Verlander, Garrett Cole, and Zach Greinke, which might not mean anything to you, but these are three. But real quick, Greg Maddux of the Atlanta Braves said those three are better than what they were with the Atlanta Braves back in the 90s, which is a huge statement.
All right, so now you've piqued my interest a little bit, because I was a fan of those Braves
teams. They are
and
tough.
If you watch the Houston Astros and Justin Verlander's on the mound, you get to see Kate Upton up in the stands, so that's always a pleasant
nice. I like how you threw that Kate Upton reference in there. He knows me very well. All right, so the Dodgers have made it to the past two World Series, and they have lost both. Is this a win at all or bust season for the Dodgers?
It is, and I believe, and I'm picking the Dodgers to win it all this year. I think they got everything they can, everything that they need, and they are destined to win this one. Anything as long as they beat the Yankees, that's all I want. But they're fun to watch. The Dodgers are loaded, and it's the year of the long ball, man. You need to watch these games.
I do like home runs.
It's a lot of home, lot of long balls, a lot of dingers going on.
The Twins and Yankees series. Not to get off of that, each team has over 300 home runs, which is record smashing. Okay, that's an average. You know, when they're playing each other, that averages out to 4 or 5 home runs a game, and it happens. Last night.
It did. But I'm going to have to stop you there, John. I don't think the Dodgers are going to get past the Nationals here. Oh. They are a juggernaut, and it is win or bust, especially when you're paying that much money. You
the
got
Nationals
that much talent.
Juggernaut?
No. The Dodgers are a juggernaut. Sorry. It is win or bust for them. If they don't win the title, it is a bust. They're paying a lot of money. They've got a lot of talent. They don't really have any glaring weaknesses, but the Nats match up with this group very well. They play them tough. And the Dodgers going to Dodger regardless. I know the MLB and everybody wants to see Yankees versus Dodgers in the finals. The ratings really would sell themselves.
I wouldn't be interested in
that. But the Dodgers going to Dodgers. L.A. going to L.A., y'all. I don't see it.
Who's the best pitcher in these playoffs and who's the best hitter?
Best pitcher, Justin Verlander, hands down. Right now, even over, Kershaw had a little trouble.
Kershaw,
last night,
yeah.
But not bad.
And you got
but
Harrison.
Verlander is it. He's like 8-1 in the playoffs. He's a primetime pitcher, and he's just.
And he's kind of got that tenure like LeBron. I mean, Verlander's been doing this for a decade, man. Even with those Tiger teams, he's been an elite pitcher for a long time.
He has lost nothing, man. I mean, the guy is a stud on the mound.
And you said he pitches for Houston?
Pitches for Houston. And again, to watch him, you got to watch. There's a lot of personalities in the game of baseball, too. There really are.
Best hitter. Who's the best hitter in these playoffs?
That's very, very tough.
Like, who's the guy that I should be, like, when he comes to the plate, I should be,
there's,
like,
there's so
I
many.
Up.
I mean, the for one, the Twins have a couple guys.
Well, Nelson Cruz is just, you know, smashing it. But
let me rephrase the question. All right. Who's the guy that I should be watching for in the playoffs? Like, who's that guy that has that it factor? The guy that has that buzz, like when he comes to the
I think Aaron Judge is one too.
Aaron
Judge, I mean,
is definitely going to be
one with the Yankees.
Brandon, when he steps up to the plate, it's frightening. I can't imagine being a pitcher when that 6'8"
Judge.
Monster steps up to the plate.
Massive.
But as far as a great hitter, Jose Altuve for Houston.
Yeah, and he's a little guy. He's a little guy.
I repeat, 5'6", maybe. And he hit one about 400 feet yesterday.
Gold glove.
He's unbelievable.
Him and Carlos Correa are incredible. Robert Acuña Jr. for the Braves is another slugger. Freddie Freeman's another guy that can really knock the stitches off
and
the ball.
And Goldschmidt, who got traded to St. Louis this past year from Arizona, hit one 487 the other night that I swear is still going.
Oh, man. It hasn't landed yet.
Sounds like the juice is back in baseball.
Oh, it's fun, man. MLB is back.
Speaking of Atlanta, it's a great segue. They're playing the St. Louis Cardinals in the NLDS. I keep hearing about how fun the Braves are. Why should I root for the Braves?
Because they're young and they're exciting.
They are.
And like you just mentioned, Acuña Jr., 41 home runs as a rookie, right?
Yeah,
isn't he a rookie?
Like he's breaking records as a rookie. You got arguably the best shortstop in the game in Dansby Swanson out there. Repping for the culture. He's tough.
Freddie Freeman, who's been around for a while now, but still putting up huge numbers. But back to Ozuna, 41 home runs, Dez, 37 stolen bases. That doesn't happen very often.
And as a rookie.
As a rookie. But he is kind of a personality, and he lacks hustle once in a while. He hit one off the wall.
I saw that you didn't run it out or something.
Yeah,
whole team got on.
Could have easily been a triple. Yeah.
But man, he had 3 hits that day and a walk, and including a home run. So, you know, do you bench him next game? No.
Okay, so, and finally, who are the two teams you guys expect to make the World Series? Not who you want to make the World Series, but who do you expect to be there?
I expect the Astros to be there, certainly, and you naturally expect the Dodgers to be there, but I think the winner could easily come from that St. Louis and Atlanta Braves, too, because the Braves have been a juggernaut themselves, and St. Louis is playing some good postseason playoff baseball, and they're known for that. Yeah, they're known for that.
So who would you pick? You went through like 4 teams.
I think everybody expects the Dodgers. I think everybody expects the Dodgers. I think the Braves are the best team in the NL, though. So, top to bottom.
So your pick? So yeah, you think I'll Houston go with the Braves. Dodgers or Houston Braves?
Yeah, Houston Braves.
See, a lot of people picking the Braves.
I'm going Houston and the Dodgers is what I expect. But, you know, the Yankees might have a little something to say about that, because that lineup that the Yankees have is off the charts.
We didn't even mention Juan Carlos Stanton.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, he just got back.
Yeah, he just got back. Yeah, okay. So that'll be another big bet.
He's batting in like the sixth slot. I mean, every batter that comes up in that lineup is like, I can't imagine pitching against that lineup. A couple of these lineups, actually.
I mean, Didi Gregorius has been really good for them, too, smacking the ball. I mean,
I'll give the Yankees credit, and boy, does that hurt.
I just realized I'm going to put Sawyer and Overdrive in the segment, because it's like 3 separate things that require music beds or some sort of imaging or something. It's just the way the show kind of ran out today, because we still got hot takes to get to, and then we also still have 1 minute with Aaron that's in this segment as well. Let's separate this out and do the, if Aaron's ready, let's do the 1 minute with Aaron now, and then we'll as I see them scrambling around in the control room, unless you want to do hot takes now, and then we'll do 1 minute with Aaron after. Aaron, you ready to rock and roll? If he's ready to rock and roll, let's do the 1 minute with Aaron. And If you're unaware of what this is, or if it's the first week you've listened to The Rundown, each week I give my man Aaron Gabriel 1 minute to either rant or go off about something that he's seen this week in the world. It doesn't have to be sports. It can be whatever. He gets 1 minute to kind of vent about it and get it out. No cursing.
I do my best.
Let's 1 minute with Aaron. Let's go ahead and go.
Speaking of no cursing, Kansas. Ooh. In hot water with the NCAA for numerous violations and infractions, decided they would double down and let the NCAA know who the biggest gangsters on the block was. They invited the DOGG out to their late night at the Fog last night for a performance, and then immediately had to issue an apology statement about his performance, which included scantily clad women, stripper poles, and apparently a money gun in which he shot Snoop Dogg dollar bills at women and at some of the K-State or Kansas basketball players.
Yeah, Kansas is lit.
Now, here's this.
All right. I love it. Yeah.
So you hired Snoop Dogg, one of the forefathers of gangster rap, to come and perform at your university. Okay, and now you're surprised because he did put on a clean show. What world are we living in where you hire Snoop Dogg to perform and you're surprised that it wasn't a clean, family-friendly environment?
Well, maybe they thought he was going to drop the gospel album playlist that he's got
going,
the reggae joint.
Yeah, the reggae joint, too. What is up with Kansas trying to reach the urban community? You remember Les Miles with Rick Ross like a year ago?
Oh, yeah.
When he did the phone call thing with
him? Where the dollars are. That's where the dollars are in the hip-hop community.
Yeah. I mean, the school is literally in a cornfield, like out in Kansas somewhere.
Got to get something to get the kids to come out.
I wonder how much Snoop got for that performance.
A lot.
Yeah, I bet I would imagine.
Snoop ain't coming for no chump change.
Well, you know that's Adidas money that went into Snoop's pocket. You know,
apparently
Adidas had
they gave
to pay
him
that.
A bunch of Adidas t-shirts. Bill Self, apparently in a promo video, wore an Adidas t-shirt with a money sign chain over it to promote for Snoop Dogg coming.
Yeah,
just
no,
like,
he
you know
did
what
not.
NCAA
is this true?
Yeah,
it's the first front page ESPN. I'm looking at right now.
These gangsters on the block, do something about it.
They about to gain a fan in me.
Craziness.
That's insane that they would even think, you know what we should do to stay out of the limelight after all this stuff with NCAA? Let's let Snoop come in here and do late night and just let him do whatever he wants. And he wants to bring strippers? I'm sure it was one of the strippers in there.
Where there's like a family sitting down, probably somewhere near courtside, they're enjoying the festivities, and all of a sudden somebody goes, "What is that smell? You smell that?"
That's where Jay Gruden was.
It's potpourri.
Jay Gruden's been out here.
It's potpourri.
Everywhere.
He's down for that type of thing.
Let's I think we got time to do hot takes here. Let's go ahead and get into our rundown hot takes. These are things that we think will happen based off of what we have seen over the past week. Sawyer, hit me with the fancy music.
You're listening to The Rundown.
Hot. Take.
Hot.
Take.
Hot.
Take.
Hot. Hot. Hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
When the pigs try to get at you, park it like it's hot.
With Desmond Johnson.
Told you I was going to have Sawyer working in this segment. So, you know, kudos to Sawyer for handling that all smoothly. He was able to move in and out.
And the Snoop Dogg transition.
Snoop Dogg transition.
Flawless.
Yeah, that was great. Everything worked out flawlessly. That was fantastic. It's like we planned it or something. That was great. We're just going to do the three of us so we can save some time. Because Sawyer and Aaron have odds and ends after this to end the show. So let's start with you, Brandon. You got a hot take.
I will, and I already used one with the Washington Nationals. Think they're the dark horse to win. But I'm going to go off of the lamb here a little bit, and I'm going to say my hot take is that SMU football, currently ranked 25th, the first time they've been ranked since they got the death penalty, fellas, in 1986.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yes, sir.
They had Eric Dickerson running around.
I think SMU beats UCF for the American Athletic Conference Championship this year.
Damn!
I think SMU's the big dog to come out of there.
I'm wondering if Kansas is going to get a death penalty for all the stuff they're being accused
of. They probably
of.
Wouldn't be mad if they killed the football team. No shade. I'm just
Les
saying.
Miles probably would. He's the head coach. He'd probably be a little upset. Like, hey, what do you mean taking away my football team? We didn't even do anything. We're not even that good. John, what you got?
Why y'all cheating?
I forgot the hot take this morning.
No. So you don't
last
have hot take?
Week's was, you know, that Minnesota Twins are going to win it all. I don't have one for you right now. I'm drawing a blank.
All right. So
I'm live
I'll go.
Radio.
I'm going to do this now because I didn't write one down either, but I'm going to put one together. It's in college football. I've already said on this segment before, I don't think Alabama is going to make the college football playoff. I am also going to now say I don't think Clemson's going to make it either. I'm going to – I'm either going to gain a whole lot of friends or make people really mad, but I think Wake Forest is going to beat them. I think Wake Forest is going to go to Clemson and beat Clemson.
Oh, my God. That's a hot
– You just made a lot of Wake fans friends, I can say.
I mean, Wake has the number one offense in the ACC. Trevor Lawrence isn't playing all that great this season. Clemson's offensive line's had some issues. Wake's got some talent on offense.
They definitely
do. They're Jamie Newman, he's the real deal. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they got some ballers over there.
Definitely.
And I think they can give after seeing the Carolina Clemson game last week and just kind of putting Wake Forest in that same spot that Carolina was in. There was some throws that Sam Howell left out there on the field. There was some plays that Carolina left out there on the field. I think Wake is a little bit more disciplined at this point. And I think Wake Forest, it would be the biggest win in school history.
If it went down at
Death Valley.
Hands down.
And I agree with you, but I mean, they're in Death Valley, but there's something's going to click with Clemson, and it has not clicked yet.
Yeah.
I agree.
The same thing happened last year.
Four or five games in.
This happened last year. They almost lost to Syracuse, and then after that game, they just started blowing people out. Yeah. So
look out for them.
I think so, too.
Are they off this week? They're off this week.
Clemson is off this week. They have Florida State on October the 12th.
All right, so there's their
– so next Saturday.
I think, too, Wake Forest has a little bit more depth right now than Carolina had to kind of battle some of those big boys that Clemson does.
Now, we got to wait a while because that Clemson-Wake Forest game is the next to last game of the season. It's November the 16th, so we got to get through October 1st, and Wake's still got to, you know – get through their schedule to even make that a game of a difference. But that's kind of, I guess that's my take today. Alabama and Clemson are going to both miss the college
that's
football playoff.
That could possibly happen.
I think I'm dead set on Alabama missing it.
Oklahoma,
Ohio State, Wisconsin's still out there floating
look
around.
Look out for Wisconsin. Penn State even. You
Penn
know, you
State's
just
undefeated.
Don't know.
Notre Dame's got one loss, but if they get through the rest of their schedule, they're going to be sitting there at 10-1 or whatever, probably at number 4 or 5.
LSU, I mean, there's a lot of teams.
If we see enough losses, I'm just saying Boise State's there at 16. Maybe they...
If Wake Forest beats Clemson and they're undefeated at that point, the next
gotta,
they're going to be in the top 10.
Now you're really hot taking this.
Yeah. Yeah. Wake Forest, national champions, baby. let's take our final break, come back and do odds and ends, a rapid fire round. We get 1 minute to debate random topics that we have not seen before the show started. They are brought to us by our production team of Sawyer and Aaron. So let's get that going. And
what's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party.
Are we having a party?
Yeah.
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Download full episodes of The Rundown at sportshubtriad.com, Spotify, Google, Apple, SoundCloud, and more. Just search for The Rundown with Desmond Johnson, download it, and go. I am so proud of myself, gentlemen, because I left us with enough time to properly do odds and ends. I'm usually running up against it here at the end of the show. Let's set a stop clock again for 1 minute. Sawyer and Aaron came up with these topics before the show began. We have no idea what they're about to throw at us. So rapid fire. Let's go.
All right, starting off, will Burfict play again in the NFL after his year-long suspension?
How old is he?
He's probably like 31.
I'm going to go real quick. I don't think so, because just the way he's been doing things and the players cannot be happy with it at all.
He's 29.
He sits out this whole
year. Okay, well, so that's not bad.
So that is kind of young.
He's had 13 suspensions in 7 seasons.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he's out.
I'm going to say no, too, because if the owners can all collude to blackball Colin Kaepernick from getting into the league and he's perfectly healthy, I would think that this guy, when the players are all like, man, this guy's a bad dude, he's hitting people, blah, blah, blah. Although I have heard that off the field, he's a great guy. Like, he's not a mean bully type of guy. Just on the field, he just doesn't know how to tackle people. I don't think he's going to play again either.
I think he'll play. We've seen people come back from worse in the NFL and get other chances.
He's
on the right side.
Like, what's worse than trying to kill people? Who's?
I mean, come on. We've seen people have domestic issues off the field.
Okay.
We've seen drug issues.
Right.
Like, this is on the field behavior we're talking about. He hasn't gotten
careers though. I hate that.
Yeah.
I
mean, if the players don't want to play with you, then that changes it a lot. So it'd be different if the players were sticking up for him. I think he's trying to go to the players union to get help, and they're like, "No, bro, you're trying to hurt us. We don't want
but
you."
But his teammates, I've never heard him being a bad teammate.
Yeah, no, me either.
Yeah. All right, over or under 2 games that Jay Gruden coaches this season?
The rest of the season, you mean?
Rest of the season, yeah.
Well, I'm going
to
say
under. Coach 2 more?
I think we're going to hear something today. He is done today.
I don't think it'll be today because it's the day before their game. Are they on a bye? No, they play
Yeah, but he can't Sunday. Be on the sideline. Can you imagine him on the sideline after that?
Yes, I can't wait for it. And guess who they're playing? The New England Patriots.
Oh, my God.
Well, Sunday at 1. We won't have that game because we'll have the Carolina game. It's in the same time slot, 1 p.m. New England is not allowed an offensive touchdown all season. So this is not going to get better for Jay Gruden over this weekend. If he thought people were going to forget this, no, the Patriots and Bill Belichick are probably going to make this worse. I think he's going to get fired Monday morning.
Brandon? I think Joe Gibbs is coming back.
Oh, yeah. Joe Gibbs? No. Jay Gruden is canned. You're not winning. You're off the field. He's got his mind on, like you said, doobies and hotties.
Doobies and hotties. Wow.
All right. Next up.
Let me use that.
If this trend continues, will Odell become a distraction to the Cleveland Browns?
Probably. I mean, we have nothing else to go off of except for his track record. And did he get like this with the Giants where like he started complaining about the ball?
Oh, he
only
definitely
when they,
did.
But they were losing.
They were losing.
If Cleveland continues to win, you know, at a pretty good clip, he probably will be okay. But I don't think this trend is going to continue. I think he's going to start getting
the
ball.
And he still has Jarvis Landry there, his best friend, to kind of help him manage. And also, Baker Mayfield's not Eli Manning. He's got a quarterback that isn't afraid to stand up. And, yo, Odell, you got to relax.
You know who would have been great for Daniel Jones in New York? Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
He missed the wave.
But if you watch what's happening, Odell's being held every time he's they were showing a pretty good clip on ESPN. Every time he's going up for a pass, he's being held.
So it sounds like
he understands.
He's building up this anger, and it's going to explode on like a kicker's net or something like in the sidelines in the next couple weeks.
He does get a little disrupted. Flipping Gatorade coolers.
They got to get him the ball,
though. I noticed this. He got into a fight with somebody.
Well, he was getting choked out.
Yeah, that's what it was.
He
somebody was choking him.
Out. Yeah.
And that dude didn't get a flag.
No. Or I mean, he was literally choking him. And then you talk about trying to end lives on the field.
Debo style, in front of the whole world, he's getting choked out. But Odell Beckham Jr., he's done, remember him and Josh Norman a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
He runs around and tries to blindside people he's mad at, like a kid in high school or something. He just runs and sticks them when he can.
And then remember,
he wasn't choking Odell. He was just trying to help him adjust his shoulder pad.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. It was a little too tight.
Remember he was neck pad.
Remember when he went back to the sideline and he was fighting with the net?
Yeah, that's what he just does these weird things. But yeah, I mean, he lives in Cleveland, so that alone might be enough to throw him over the deep end. Sorry.
Our next question, we've kind of already talked about it. How far can Wake Forest go without a loss?
I mean, I've got their schedule right here.
Let's hear it real quick.
They got they're on a bye this week. They have Louisville October the 12th. That's at home. Then they have Florida State at home.
It's another win.
Then they have NC State at home.
They're going to lose there. They're going to make it to 7-0 and get beat by NC State.
I don't trust NC State. Then they finally go on the road, and they're at Virginia Tech. Then they're at Clemson. Home versus Duke, and then they finish the season at Syracuse.
They're only maybe two losses.
Clemson's the only thing I really see on here that makes me kind of go, Yeah. Duke, maybe? Because Duke is actually pretty good.
Yeah, and they're rolling. They've won two or three games straight.
But again, they're at home. They're at home versus Duke. True. They're at home versus Florida State. So,
where's the NC State game?
It's at Wake. Oh. It's at home.
Do they have any away games?
That's what I'm saying. Like, they've been at home all year.
I mean, I know they played Rice on the road, but other than bought BC.
They played Utah State here. They played Carolina here. Elon here. Elon was homecoming. So, yeah, I expect them to be undefeated when they see Clemson.
I can see that.
I'm going to audible in an extra question real quick before our last one.
Omaha!
We've seen Daniel Jones start. We've seen Daniel Jones start and have, 2-0. Should the Redskins play Haskins, or should they keep in the McCoy and Keenum combo?
They already know what Colt McCoy can do. Not much.
They need to fire Jay Gruden so they can play Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, it seems like that's why he's getting benched, is because Jay Gruden just doesn't believe in him. But again, Jay Gruden out here, smoking stuff and talking to underage, well, I won't say underage girl. He's talking to young girls. They're talking to girls younger than him instead of worrying about the football team. So I think Cam Newton broke that mold with starting, letting rookies start. I know Pat Mahomes destroyed that by sitting a year and then came out
and
playing
Rodgers
the way he's playing.
Was the same
Aaron Rodgers sat a year too, but Dwayne Haskins, I mean, he threw for 5,000 yards at Ohio State. Let the boy play.
All right, last one. Where does candy corn rank in your Halloween candy leaderboards?
In the trash.
The candy corn. I really do. It's not a top three, but I think it's in my top five. Those things. I could eat those, M&M's for crying out
loud. Candy corn, really?
Candy corn.
What is candy corn? What's the flavor supposed to be?
Well, I don't even want to know, maybe. I don't even want to know how they make that stuff.
It tastes like hopelessness and despair.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
I don't like it. It's just, I don't know. I don't like them. They're candy corns, yeah. Don't forget to check out SportsCarolinaMonthly.com daily for the latest news on your favorite sports teams in North Carolina. A&T Norfolk State today at 1:30. Packers Cowboys 3:45 on the Sports Hub tomorrow. Colts Chiefs tomorrow night on Sports Hub at 7:30. We'll see you next Saturday.